I don't know if you have the pages from last time. It's already been a while. If we aren't, if from Kesa Shem Tov. Let me review a little bit. And we'll finish. I'm sure we'll do this entire piece. This is a remarkable anonymous letter. It was a letter, it was a document that's clearly from a chassid of great stature. It was most likely one of the chassidim of Kapust from the world of Chabad, where he places the hisgalus of the Baal Shem Tov and Teres Achsidus into the context of the 6,000 years of this world. In order for us to understand what changed, and to have a very, very deep understanding, an ability to understand and to appreciate Taras Chassidus, we must have a greater understanding of the context. And the Hishtalshlus we're going to continue with after this, the Hishtalshlus of where the Baal Shem Tov was coming from, of why that happened then. Why did Hashem Yisbarach bring the Baal Shem Tov when he brought him? And how was that the beginning of the Hizgalus of Orish al Mashiach, the light of Mashiach? So that Mitzvah until 120, every piece of Torah that we'll learn from the Baal Shem and Talmid Baal Shem will be shining with that light. We should be starting to learn it together with the Mashiach. The Yili of the Baal Shem Tov, this Tzaddik explains, the Hizgalus of the Baal Shem Tov and his Torah was at the beginning of the morning of the Elef HaShishi. Now, just to remind you, this is in the Ramban of this parasha. But to remind you that all of history, Shis Alfei Shnin, 6,000 years. The 6,000 years, we're now Tavshin Ayin Vav, doesn't have to go to the end. There's the Schus of Zochu Achishana, that we can be worthy to, just as when we left Mitzrayim, for things to move faster, and for the end to come before that time. But we're now, or then, at the time of this Galus Baal Shem Tov, was precisely the time of Alois HaShachar, of dawn, of the sixth millennium. By a simple chashbon, that if you count those thousand years, according to each period of time. The Grod does this as well in Dvarim. The Ramban discusses that in this week's parasha. Ki elef shani benecha ki yom esmol, that a thousand years is a day in Hashem's eyes. So the time of the Hizgalus of the Baal Shem Tov was the beginning of the morning, was the hisnoisitzus of Alois HaShachar, of the dawn of the sixth millennium. And that earliest sparkling of Erev Shabbos, of Friday, of Erev Shabbos, means that it became a time that was ripe with Geula, Erev Shabbos, a time of Tameh Chaim Zochu. It's brought down in Halacha, as we spoke about, that on Erev Shabbos, there's a mitzvah for one to taste of the Macholim of Shabbos, the taste of the Macholim of Shabbos, Tameh Chaim Zochu. Shabbos doesn't just plop upon us, Shabbos requires a Hachana, Ve'chinu Hashevi, it's a Pasuk in Torah. That Shabbos requires preparation, requires hachana, And Yemos HaMashiach, which is Yom Shekulo Shabbos HaMenucha, requires the Hachana, and is illuminated by that light of Erev Shabbos, which began with the appearance of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. We know, I'm just reviewing what we learned last time, it's been a while, we know that there's a special meal that's awaiting us. We just, when we left the Sukkah, when we parted from the Sukkah Shemini Atzeres, we asked Hashem that we should be zeichet to eat the Sukkah that will be made from the skin of the Levyasin, that meal of the Levyasin and the Shor HaBar, the fish from creation and the flesh of that behemoth of the Shor HaBar. That special Seuda is a meal where the Tzaddikim, Amech Kulin Tzaddikim, will enjoy the revelations of Pnimius HaTorah in the deepest way. We'll be able to consume the secrets of Torah that were hidden from us throughout the years of Galus. And the Neshama of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was sent at the beginning, at Friday morning of history, at the Erev Shabbos of history, at the beginning of that day, to enable us, while we're still in a state here in Galus, Legaleni od begalusi legaleni to taste me ilana dechaya from the tree of life, from the deepest secrets of Torah in a way that the neshama shebaguf can understand. We'll talk about that a lot in Mitzvah. We're going to be learning a mimer from Mitzvah Maim Morgenstern, that the neshama shebaguf should be able to enjoy. You know how there are certain things that when we were children, maybe they don't do this now, but there were certain things that they believed were healthy back in the 1950s and stuff, and my mother would have me like castor oil. I don't know if you ever heard of that. There were things that we had to have that my mother would say, this is really good for you. And it was the most disgusting, horrible thing. But everybody said that you have to eat these things. You have to. For me, that was also milk and hot tea, stuff like that. But you had to have these things because otherwise you're gonna die or something. So these were things we had to have. But I didn't enjoy the taste. I didn't enjoy the time. We're going to learn how the Torah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the Torah of the Ari HaKadosh, that Torah had become available in the world, but the world wasn't capable of tasting the true time, of having a time, of being able to enjoy the taste of the secrets of Torah, Pnimius HaTorah. We're incapable of tasting it. For whatever reason, we're going to discuss that more, musician. We're incapable of tasting it. It was there, it was present in the world, but for 99.9% of the Jewish people, these were closed books. Closed books. The only people who could taste of the Tree of Life were those who lived entirely in the world of the Neshama, who were almost completely detached from physical life. But to be able to taste from the Tree of Life while being a living physical organism, and the Neshama Shebaguf, being a person that goes out to work and that, you know, enjoys a hot dog and some sauerkraut and some mustard on it, you know, to be a Jew that's able to have a time of the Ilana Dechai, the Tree of Life, of what that means, and the Dveikus, the Dveikus Hashem, taste of HaKadosh Baruch from the deepest way. So there were tzaddikim that were walking around saying that this is great stuff, but any time that a regular Jew opened it, it was, he not only did he not taste it, but it tasted bitter. He didn't get it. That in the Zohar HaKadosh, in the Kisrei Ari, a regular Jew felt that Hashem was talking to angels. That Hashem is Baruch is talking. Hashem is talking to Malachim, to Malachim, not talking to human beings. With the arrival of the Baal Shem Tov, with the descent of that soul into the world, as we're going to learn much more by Arichas, Hashem is Baruch gave the Jewish people on Erev Shabbos the opportunity of Toyamea Chayim Zochu, to taste regular Jews like us. That's what we're doing. And it's getting much more enjoyable, and it's becoming much more available as we get closer to Mashiach. What you and I are able to taste now of Pnimas HaTorah, our parents and grandparents could never have dreamt of. Could never, ever have dreamt of. That's Pashit, that we see that. They could never have dreamt of. Again, there were tzaddikim, big tzaddikim, that had a shaychus to it. But our parents and grandparents, no shaychus to it. No shaychus to it. As we get further along. So, this is the Sod, and he explains here in this document, this apparently a kaposta chas, this tzaddik, explains here in this document how we know that the morning or the evening is divided into the different the mishmaros at the beginning of the Masechta of Brachos, the beginning of Shas, and at the very end of the evening, Tinaik Yoinek Mishtei Imai Isha Mesaperes and Baila, the final time of the evening, that the baby is being nursed by the mother, and Isha Mesaperes and Baila. These are the simanim, right? At the beginning of Brachos, these are the simanim of the end of the night, that the baby is being nursed by the mother, and the Isha Mesaperes and Baila. There's a conversation between the husband and wife. These are the simanim, which means that there's an awakening that takes place by the earliest risers, because the Mishnah and the Gemara at the beginning of Brachos is telling us that they're different times. But there is already a conversation between the husband and wife. That means the Shechin has already gotten up, right? Isham Saperus and Baila. There's a conversation between a husband and wife. That's Yisayin and Malchus. That's Kudsha Brichum and Knesset Yisrael. That means the Shechin is beginning. The Shechin is beginning to wake up, so to speak. In Golas, the Shechin is in a state of Ani Yishena. Knesset Yisrael is asleep and is covered with the dust, with the dirt, with the filth of Golas, the lost princess for Hulu, and L'ukma Shechinta Ma'afara. The beginning of Geula is the awakening of the Shechina. Isham is a person by law. Tinag Yonek Mishtei Imar, the baby is being nursed by the mother. It's the time of Yanika, of nursing. It's the beginning. That was the time of the Ari HaKadosh. Shin Lamed Gimel was the time of the Arizal. The end of the night. The end of the third Mishma, the end of the night. It's the beginning of the Shechina's awakening. It's the beginning of the Shechina getting up from Golos. But at that time, only that circle of the Talmidei Ha'ari, and then afterwards, as I said, a tiny, tiny group of tzaddikim who Bamas were not even part of this world, but came out no shaykhs to this world, were learning and connected to the secrets that would become the meal of Am Yisrael at the end of time. And the Baal Shem Tov was the beginning of the light of the morning of the sixth millennium. That's when he arrived, and that is the beginning of Tomer Chaim Zocher, where every Jew has the ability to taste the meal is Mashiach, but a taste of Ilona Dechai, of the tree of life, where simple, hard-working, regular Jews are able to talk about inyanim of Dveikus Basham, the inyan of Dveikus Basham, the mitzvah of Dveikus Basham, where everyday life is revealed to be filled with the deepest secrets of creation, deepest mysteries of creation. We're going to talk about all of these things when we discuss the inyan of Tzimtzum and Shalei Kipshuto, to understand the side of Atam Chayis Kulam, Leis also Ponumine, that there is no place without God. Everything is God. Everything is God. Everything is Elokus. That his galus began with the arrival of the Baal Shem Tov in this world. We're on page Tav Tzadik Vav, which says, a Bezeh Yuvan Maim. If you don't have it, then we're not going to do the whole thing. He goes through the periods then of the morning, which we can come back to Mitzvah Hashem later on, a few months from now. But we still need to learn a little bit more. You have it? Those who have the page on Tav Sadik Vav. Ubeze Yuvan Mayim Esosu Meharav Hagoyen Repinchas Mikaritz Zal. The Rebbe of Pinchas Karitz, of course, was a Talmud Chavir of the Baal Shem Tov. It was Talmid Baal Shem, from the earliest of the Talmid Baal Shem. Pinchas Karitz says Shama Shenishmas Baal Shem Tov Yarda La'ilam Hazeh, that the soul of the Baal Shem Tov came into this world Lahoir Es Klal Yisrael Mishinasam, to wake up Klal Yisrael from their sleep. Lahoir Es Klal Yisrael Mishinasam Shehem Bibchinas His Alphus, that before the Baal Shem Tov came, again with the exception of some tzaddikim, Klal Yisrael was not only asleep, but Klal Yisrael was in a state of Hisalfus. Hisalfus is deeper than deep sleep. It's to be in a state of unconsciousness. Kiyadua sheyesh arba madregis b'sheina, because there are four madregis when it comes to sleep. Here in America, most are aiming to reach the highest level, the highest and deepest level of sleep. But there are four madregas of sleep. Hamadrega harishayna, hinim v'loy nim tir v'loy tir. The korolei v'oni v'loy adola adurei svar. The gentlest or lightest level of sleep, the Gemara describes in such a way of being awake and not awake, that somebody calls to you, you respond, but lo yoda la'adur is svara, but you're a little bit disoriented. You can't answer a svara. That's how most of us have to go to school, something like along those lines, right? And imagine, just remember yourself back in class. It's nim v'loy nim tir v'loy tir, that your eyes are a little bit open, and karuleva on you, and if your Rebbe calls on you, you answer, but you can't really respond in an intelligent way. So that's a person who's hopping a little bit of a dremel, to be a little bit out of things. Nivlanim, on and off, but the person is still aware. But in a very unclear way. A madrega base hashenis shenishtake b'sheina. The person's already fallen asleep. Ritzichim lahakitzai. Now this person already needs to be. You need to wake him up. He's asleep. A madrega shlishis. Mishnis aleph. A person who has passed out sometimes can only be revived with some smell, some medicine. Something has a strong smell. He's passed out. And what's brought down in the Sifrei HaRefuas, that there's a skula, sheyilachashu loy ba'ozno shmo. It's a very famous thing, well known. That shi'alach shelo b'shmo, that a person who has passed out, if you whisper into his ear his name, that could wake him up. V'az yokitz mahis alfus, then he'll be able to be brought back to consciousness. But then there's even a deeper state of unconsciousness. Hamadrega harivius l'mishet tzvichim lasas le'refua lachtech le'ever abosah shenirka v'achmar l'slan. When there's a person who has to go through an operation or an amputation, and he needs to be anesthetized, that he shouldn't feel the pain of the procedure. As noisem le'bechait my sam la'riach v'noitlim menachush hahergish. Then he's given something to smell, or what we would give some injection, and the ability to feel is taken from him. He's not able to feel. Venu margish ke'ev achitach, so that he shouldn't feel the pain of the amputation, of the operation. So that's the fourth madrega of being asleep. V'chol ha'arba madregas, hoi b'kla Yisrael b'zman ha'golas. And all of these four madregas were with Kla Yisrael, b'zman ha'golas, at the time of Golas, shenimshal l'shena, that in many places in Chazal is compared to being asleep. And in Tanakh, is compared to being asleep. Golas is a time of sleep. Ki tekef achar churban b'yesheni, because immediately following the churban b'yesheni, the second churban, the churban of the second Beis Hamikdash, hayu madrega harishayna, we fell into the first lightest level of sleep, nim v'loy nim, that first level of sleep, kimisha hayu am ha'aretz. Because a person in those years, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Misha, not Masig, what the Jews were like at the time of the Churban, at the time of the Bayis Rishon, which we spoke about a little bit over the time. I mean, the Klal Yisrael had, there were thousands of Nevi'im that were walking around. Everybody had a cousin or something. It was a Navi. There was Nevi'im all over. But in those years, after the Churban Bayis Sheni, when we began to get drowsy, Kimisha Hoya Am Ha'aretz, even a person who was Nam Ha'aretz, but Lokach Atzmo, but he made a decision, Lil Martara, to really learn in earnest, Nasa Tana Amar, was able to become a Tana or an Amar. Now we know we have a Kabbalah that any person whose name is mentioned anywhere in the Bavli or Yerushalmi had the ability to be Mechai Mesa. They were tzaddikim beyond anything that we could possibly comprehend. K'may Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, as we know, was Nam Haaretz, and he became Rabbi Akiva, B'chadoyma. So, at that initial stage of this Golos, the beginning of the Golos we're in, which was after Churban Bayis Sheni, we were in that state of Nim V'loy Nim. There was some sort of a consciousness, ad kedei kach, that a person who would shake himself out of that sleep, which you could, shake yourself out of sleep, would be able to reach amazing levels of greatness and Torah and Kedusha and so on. There was still the residue of the Beis HaMikdash, and there was still an awareness of a reality higher than this world that was there, but we were in a state of semi wakefulness, nim v'lay nim, tir v'lay tir. V'chakach nishtake b'sheni yoiser, and as the years went by, we fell into a deeper sleep. Shetzrichim lahakitzay heitev. Already, this is a person that you need to wake him up. So already you have to work at it. You have to wake him up. Shetzichem lahakitzay heitev. V'achar kach koydim hezgalus of Baal Shem Tov nishmosei Eden. And then afterwards, before the Baal Shem Tov appeared, later on before the Baal Shem Tov appeared, so we're now in the non-Jewish calendar, we're talking about the time approaching the 18th century. Then Klal Yisrael was in a state of his alphas, unconscious. The third madrega of his alphas. Va'alkein yored ha'bal shem tov zal lo'ilam hazeh. Litein refuois chazokais v'heim divrei chasidus. If the Baal Shem descended into the world to give very strong medication, Litein Refuas, to wake us up, Him Divrei Chasidus, the beginning of Divrei Chasidus. V'gam lochash ba'ozneim eshmam. And he whispered into the ear of every Jew his name, Shenikri Yisrael, that he's a Jew. And his name was Yisrael, of course, Ben Eliezer. Ki yesh lanu shtei madregis, Yaakov Yisrael. As you all know, that there are two madregas, there's Yaakov and there's Yisrael. Yaakov is Ekev, is the lower madrega. Yaakov is that madrega of the Jewish people, Yaakov, in Golus, asleep. And Yisrael is the words Liraish. Yisrael is the higher madrega of Am Yisrael. And throughout Golus, a typical Jew is only capable of seeing himself as a Yaakov, as somebody who was stepped upon, and somebody who was low, and somebody who couldn't possibly have the understanding or the schus to partake of the tree of life. That was the madrega that we were on in Golus, Yaakov. The Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yisrael, Baal Shem Tov came and he whispered the name Yisrael into the ear of every Jew. And the Baal Shem Tov drew into the bodies, drew out into the bodies of the Jewish people, Sherish Nishmasam, the root of the soul, Sherish Nishmasam, which is called Mazola, Mazla. V'gam Shem Yisrael, that he's a Yisrael, that a Jew should feel that energy, that light of Yisrael inside of him, that the neshama should begin to communicate with the guf. But this would be possible for every Jew, Ishim Seperisim Baila. A conversation between the neshama and the guf could take place. L'chein karlo b'shamayim la Baal Shem Tov davka Baal Shem Tov. And therefore he became known, and he was known even during his lifetime, as the Baal Shem Tov, as the master of the good name, the Baal Shem Tov. And that's how he was waking up Jews, and the healing began, and the waking began. Shu himshich lamata keser Shem Tov, which is the name of the Sefer Keser Shem Tov, which is a collection of the teachings of the Baal Shem, that he was able to be Mamshech Lamata, that's the meaning of the Mazla, of Mazola, Keser Shem Tov, the crown of the good name, Shehu Madregis Mashiach, which is the Madrega of Mashiach, Shoila Kol Shloish Aksar. As you know, that a Shem Tov is the highest crown that a Jew can wear. It says in Pirkei Avos, Keser Shem Tov. Shem Tov doesn't mean in this context just to have a good reputation or a good name. It means that a Jew is connected to his good name, which is Yisrael, which is the highest level of Keser, which is Madregas Mashiach. When Mashiach will come, each and every one of us will become that person where the Neshama and the Guf is connected in the deepest way, and the highest part of us is communicating to the lowest part of us. So the Rosh and the Ekev, the head of Yisrael and the Ekev, Yisrael and Yaakov, will be joined together, Yisrael Yaakov. Keser Shem Tov, the crown of the good name, is the Shem Tov, which is Yisrael, which is the ability that a Jew has to be in touch with the inner point of his existence, which is called Yisrael. So now he goes on to explain. So if that's the case, then since that time, everything should have been getting increasingly better and better and better. So now he explains that after the Baal Shem Tov came, he doesn't go into the protum of this. We'll discuss this further along, because there's clearly a huge change that has taken place from the first, if we're talking about the first three generations of the Baal Shem and the Talmidei Baal Shem, and what's going on now in Chassidus, what's going on now in the world of the Talmidei Baal Shem. There was a terrible, terrible Yerida, which the Tzaddikim already spoke about, the Divrei Chaim spoke about, what happened already. But what changed? There was something magnificent that opened up, and we had yesterday was the B'dichva's yard site. We had these tzaddikim walking around on such a madrega. They were mamish, it was impossible to understand the chesed of Hashem that these tzaddikim were able to be in the world at the end of Golos, such tzaddikim on that madrega. And we would have hoped and expected that tzaddikim of that stature or even greater would appear in the world as we would get closer and closer to Mashiach. But what happened is v'acharkach b'zman hazeh, afterwards, in already in our time. So this Jew we're talking about is coming closer to the end of the 19th century. It's probably around this person's around the 1860s someplace, 1850, 1860, something like that. Even a little later. Rechaka b'zman hazeh, yordu kla yisrael l'madrega harevius shiyodu milamala. So that kla yisrael fainted into the fourth madrega. Now remember, the fourth madrega is when we're put out, anesthesia. Now the deeper meaning of that is that some great operation is going to take place. And in order that we not feel the pain of that disengagement, the ultimate disengagement from the sheker of this world, from the sheker of Golos, Klal Yisrael was injected with a darkness that brought also to terrible, terrible gzeiros of shmad, terrible tzaros, not gzeiros of shmad, but terrible, terrible gzeiros of shmad, tzaros, terrible, terrible tzaros. Ad kedei kach, it came to a point that if a person would feel, you know, for a person to feel the slightest desires of being a Jew, it was already a chiddush, and there would be tremendous assimilation. Jews leaving Klal Yisrael. Jews leaving Klal, not because they're necessarily being forced by goyim, but just assimilating and intermarrying and so on. A terrible, terrible hisalfus. B'zman hazeh yordu Klal Yisrael l'madrega harevius sheyordu milamala mekifin deklip eloyl mazeh. They descended from above. Powerful klipas, shells, husks, shells, coverings. Ve'im noitnum chelek chusha hergish, that would take away from Klal Yisrael a chelek, a significant ability of Klal Yisrael to feel. Chush ha-hergish. Now, the loss of that chush, of a hergish, of course, the advantage of that would be that somehow we'd be able to survive the operation, the cutting that would take place at the end of time. There's a nesira. Of course, the creation took place in such a way where Adam and Chava, in this week's parasha, Adam and Chava were cut and were separated one from the other. And there's a nesira that needs to take place, that's taking place before Mashiach comes, where Am Yisrael has to be purified and cut away from all that we've gotten used to in Galus. In order for us to survive that aberration, a significant part of the Chusha Hergish was taken away from us by the Klipa that came into the world, which is connected to, the, of course, the time of the Haskalah, the Klipas of the Haskalah, and has been mislabished in different Levushim to this day. Right now, the Indian of technology, and whatever those Levushim are, that are making it almost impossible for even a nice Jew to feel a little bit of Kedusha because of all the craziness that he's exposed to. But a tremendous Klipa came to this world, v'hemnoitlum chelek chusha hergish. If you or I would have the chusha hergish of our ancestors from way back, if we would have that chusha hergish, if we wouldn't be so anesthetized, we would drop dead when we would see what we see. We would simply die from the filth, from the craziness. We wouldn't be able to survive also the misery of Am Yisrael that we've been put through these last years of Galus. The tsaros that we've been through, we wouldn't be able to survive. So we're going through, he's writing that at the end of time, the very end, we're going through a period of being drugged up. Now the loss of Hergish means that we don't feel God anymore the way we used to either. All the tzaddikim talk about this. We don't feel. Not feeling, not being so sensitive and not feeling helps, because then the anesthesia makes the pain bearable. If you don't feel the pain, it helps with the pain, but it also makes you numb to Kedusha. So a person nowadays feels a numbness when it comes to, is able to be to some degree numb when it comes to Tumah in some way, not to be overwhelmed by the disgust, by the impurity of the world. But on the other hand, he could walk up to the Kaisel and be taking selfies, you know, and he's not fainting from the Kedusha of the Kaisel either. It's like he's lost his chush, a feeling. So when we read stories about how, you know, the whole month of Elul, that they used to, that the Jews in the town would come and they'd spend the entire night, all kinds of tillum and learning and screaming and crying the whole Elul. To us, it's like these are stories, like fairy tales. I don't know what it means. And we say over all these Torahs and we read all these beautiful things, but you know, nowadays we're living in a time where a person could be watching the Super Bowl while he has a piece of turkey in his mouth, and in between when it's commercials, he could look in the Me'ah Shiloh. You understand? he's looking. He's learning. And doesn't see it. It's a stira. Person could be exposed to the highest things now and to the lowest things, and what they both have in common, he doesn't feel this in any particular way, he doesn't feel that in any particular way. So the anesthesia has had its effect in such a way. Similar to what happened at the time of the Churban, after the Bayis Rishon, when the Vua was taken from us. It's a whole discussion, it's not from now. There was a time of the Bayis Rishon where Klai Yisrael was filled with Nevi'im, but it was also filled with Avodah Zarah. There was a craziness, there was a passion, there was a chush, there was an unbelievable hergish for Elokus, and a longing for Elokus, that brought people to Nevuah, but also brought people to believe in Avodah Zarah. But there was a longing for Elokus. There was a longing for Elokus. The Chusha Hergish was alive and well. But that also meant that people could make crazy mistakes. People are not interested now. In a Avodah Zarah. Doesn't have any interest. We don't care about these things. But there was a time that was very appealing to people. When people were awake and alive, and were feeling Elokus in everything. So then they began to see Elokus in the sun and the moon and the stars and tables and rocks. Everything was Elokus. Everything was God. Okay, so there were intellectual mistakes that were made. There were errors that were made. And people began to worship. There were people worshipping rocks and the sun and the moon. But they were worshipping. They were worshipping. They weren't bored. They were awake. They were filled with Avaida. They were Bali Avaida. The last period of Galus is this fourth level of sleep, of unconsciousness. Here there was an injection, and we've lost to a large extent the chush hahergish. We've lost our sensitivity to godliness, the spirituality to Elokus, the chush hahergish. Hagam shiroye b'sifrei kodesh, so that in this state, you could have a Jew that he learns Sifrei Kodesh. He learns every day Tanya. He learns every day Svarim. He learns the Zohar Kodesh, whatever. Hagam shiroye b'sifrei kodesh v'shomeya divrei chasidus. And he hears divrei chasidus. Mikom mokom ein lehem chiyas klal mizeh. Doesn't give any chiyas. A little bit. Like when somebody is numb, somebody has anesthesia, and he feels a little bit, maybe something. But that depends on the sharish of the person's neshama. But b'derech klal, a person can ray b'sifrei kodesh, shemed divichsidus, mekom mekom ein lehem chiyas klal mizeh. Which we'll see is a reason why it became permissible to reveal such secrets of Torah before Mashiach comes. So you have like the typical, it's like some person will say, why are you allowed to learn these things? Maybe it's going to make you crazy, right? Yeah, like if somebody learns a mimer from the Zohar Kodesh, he's going to go crazy. You have to be in the game to lose your mind in this thing. The Zohar Kodesh doesn't make us crazy now. If you learn something from Arizal, maybe you understand, maybe you don't understand it. But it doesn't make you meshuggah. The Nevi'im were called Mishugai. When we were awake, and there's a feeling, so then a terrible mistake could be made, a wrong understanding could mislead a person and take a person completely off the program. But nowadays, somebody learns the Svarma Gadoshim. I never met in my life a person who went off the derech from learning Chasidus. From learning Divrei Elokim Chaim, from learning, he understands. He doesn't understand, but it doesn't throw him off kilter. Doesn't take him into something chashon that's bad. Because we're not bali hergish. You're not a bali hergish. So what's going to happen if you see a mimer from Bishim Baruchai, and so what's going to happen to you? So we come out, don't feel any chiyus at all. So there's a terrible, terrible, terrible disadvantage, of course, that it's terrible. The matzav is terrible. So we have all of these things now available more than ever before, but the chush hahergish is so weak. But, as he explains, hamakuvan b'zeh, the point of this injection, of Hashem allowing into the world, not allowing into the world, Hashem bringing into the world, this dark cloud, these makifin de klipa, very powerful klipas, into the world. It's because the great operation has to take place of the absolute and ultimate separation of Tov from Ra. So we could eat from the tree of life. That the time where we're eating from the tree of confusion, the tree of the Eitz Hadas, Tov v'Ra, in order for us to begin to eat from the tree of life, there needs to be a complete disengagement of Tov from Ra. The neshamas of Tikkun have to thrive in a world where there's a clear distinction between right and wrong, good and evil. The neshamas of Tohu, of Tov and Ra, Golis, all of Golis was a time of Tohu. The time at the end of Golis, the time has come. This is my watch is wrong. You'll tell me when.
It's 49:10 Remy.
Okay. The time has come for the separation between Tov and Ra. Now that's a very painful. Painful and difficult operation. You see that, like what's happening right now. I mean, you could point to any, we could have had this conversation, we could say the same thing last year, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, but it's happening right now. Because this is what's al haperek right now. Somebody told me, one of the chevra told me, that he was watching a video on a college campus, Berkeley. Berkeley is always the first place where the Klipa visits. So he's watching a video, and there's a Yid standing there with a sign, Israel, whatever, in support of him. And the college kids, American college kids, are walking past him and spitting and making fun. And there's across the thing a sign that some guy standing with ISIS. ISIS? I don't mean Cherry. I don't mean Marina. I'm talking about ISIS. Standing with a sign for ISIS. And the Olam is going to him. And they're reading the papers. And they're talking to him. And they're being mechazik him. You would think that difference between good and evil would be pashut. You would think that that would be pashut. You would think that the government of the United States would not vote in support of an agreement with a malchus of evil, with the malchus that is producing every day the evil that is destroying the world. You would think that that's like what they say about the goyim, that's a no-brainer. You would think that that's mamish a no-brainer. Like, this is complicated. As you have to try to figure out who the good guy is and who's the bad guy. Who's the good guy and who's the bad guy? That's an avoid over here. Ad kedei kach. And the divider between good and evil that began to become exceptionally clear, crystallized with the Nazis and Yimach Shemam, is that divider that is separating between Tov and Ra, that mechitza is not respected by normal civilized people. It has to do not just with ISIS and with Eretz Yisrael, but people, how people dress. Now, so now men are marrying men, and girls are marrying girls. Civilized people. I'm not talking about if 50 years ago somebody would have said this. If 10 years ago, 5 years ago, somebody said this, Meshuggah. The whole world is Meshuggah. We're Toiv and Ra, the boundaries of Toiv and Ra. That L'chairo are becoming clearer and clearer. But at the same time, civilized, intelligent people are lost. So there's such an operation that's taking place. Shepard chelik haram and hatoiv. Heman the shamas and the dochim v'nevodim. B'sholosh klipas hatmeish shlo yikalkul l'acher. This is a frightening thing. And it's hard for us to understand. Even in Klal Yisrael, among Jews, the Erev Rav, ultimately every Jew will have a tikkun, but there's a lot that's become mixed up in Klal Yisrael over the years. You know, even in Eretz Yisrael, there are hundreds of thousands of people who call themselves Jews who are not Jews. And even those who think that they're Jews are not necessarily Jews. And the taruv is the mixture, the last kick of the Sitra Achra before Mashiach comes, of the Etzadas, Toiv Ra. So there are neshamas that have to be removed. There are not neshamas, there are people who have to be removed. There needs to be a separation where Hashem's people are going to be defined and distinct and clear. And all the evil has to be removed. And that means that there are certain neshamas that are in the Dachav and the Vadim Shalsh Klippas at Tamesh Le'yakalkul Acha, that there's a fear that these are going to damage and hurt the others. And Rabbi Shamsa Fal Hirsch made a separation, made in the Seir in Germany. The Chassam Sofer made in the Seir. He saved all of the Jews of Hungary. There's cutting away. There's a cutting away before the end of time. When the Holy Vision has said, as Yahrzeit's coming up next week, the Holy Vision has said that before Mashiach comes, they attribute this to the Baal Shem Tov too, but there are a lot of things in the Baal Shem and the Vision. They're both Yisrael and they're both, that's itself, they looked at also the same. But he said that before Mashiach comes, the Malach Gavriel is going to take, there's going to be a rope around the and he's going to shake, and only the real Yidden are going to be holding on at the end of time. There's a shaking, there's a separation that takes place. And you and I are doing our best to hold on, to just try to get to Shul and to try to keep mitzvahs and try to keep things up and so on. Even though we don't feel much, but to just try to keep things going, to keep things up, to be Jews. But there's a fear that those who are not Hashem's true people could hurt and contaminate and poison and infect. That the Toiv should not be infected by the Ra. Therefore there's a separation that takes place at the end of time. V'toivazu also lonu shahim nefradim b'chol ha'inyonim. Therefore we see, and it sounds very difficult for us, it's hard for us to hear, but there are people who are being separated from Am Yisrael, b'chol ha'inyonim, that they shouldn't have a shaychus to Am Yisrael, that they get completely lost and assimilated and leave us, b'chol ha'inyonim. Hein b'malbushim, hein b'snagus, both in how they dress and how they conduct themselves. I feel with the varm shabakdusha, come up base a knesset, shari devarim. Even when it comes to matters of holiness, they stopped having regular shuls. I was talking about it this time. It's about the reform.
Open Orthodox. Open
Orthodox. Oh, you're right. No, it's an amazing thing that we see at the end of time, such a thing. I don't want to go into that right now, but do you see, it's an amazing thing. That even he says b'dvarim shebekdusha, even in matters of kedusha, that the shul is no longer a shul. Shuls began to look like churches. Jews began to go around parading as you know, anshe shlomeinu, as regular Jews. They, not only that, they see themselves as the ideal Jews. As enlightened Jews. It's hard for us to understand this. It's a very big sugya. But you see this confusion nowadays. Even in so-called this whole thing now, what they call open orthodoxy, such a bilbul. that it used to be that at least our parents, even here in America, and the people knew that this is an Orthodox Jew, this is a Shomer Mitzvah, he's not a Shomer Mitzvah. Yeah, there were many Jews that would work on Shabbos, and then they would come back and make Kiddush, but they knew that that was not ideal, and they were krechts about it, and they felt bad. And I've discussed this many times. I remember when I was a kid, there were many Jews who looked at themselves as being basically from people, but they would go to work on Shabbos because of the matzav that they were in, but they would krechts all the time that I'm a chal Shabbos, this chal Shabbos. But at the very, very end that we're now in, so now within the so-called this orthodoxy, whatever, it's this bilbul that's taking place, that so now and all these changes, they see themselves as being the most compassionate, as being real Jews, the ones that that call a woman up for maftir, to have a woman being the rabbi and so on, all of these things, whatever. That they look at themselves as being the real Jews. This is real orthodoxy. This is real Torah, and everybody else is off. And it's a new mahadur. It's a new edition of something we've been struggling with during these years of the from the time of the Haskalah of Reform. And even the cemetery, they have their own chelik in the cemetery. They have different customs. So the Jews that want to have cremations and mausoleums and so on, even in the cemetery, there's a separation that's taking place. Not to be buried together with regular Yidden. And these Jews hate betachlis in the ish chosid v'yosha, in Elchi, they hate betachlis, a God-fearing Jew. And he says, "V'zois l'tayvaseinu v'day l'mayvin," and this is good. It's not a good thing, but he says they're going to be gone. They're being cut away from the Erev Rav. Again, what does that mean? What about all we ever learned about how every Jew, and so then what about all of our efforts to reach out to our brothers and sisters? Those who are sensitive, of course, we try. It's the biggest mitzvah before Mashiach comes to reach out to our brothers and sisters. And those who hear it and come back and return to us, adarav. But there's a significant part of the Jewish people that has been surgically removed over these past years, and that's part of the process of the appearance of Mashiach Tzakeinu, and the loss of the chusha hergish, or the diminished chusha hergish that we should be able to bear and live through this operation, the cutting away and the separating that takes place between good and evil at the end of time. I don't know. I think that we're going to continue. You don't have to bring this page the next time. We're going to learn, because this is really the waking up that he goes through the different periods. Then he talks about, since he's a Chabad Chassid, he explains everything in the Mezgeres of Chabad, the Baal Tanya and the Middle Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek, which is a very beautiful thing. It's certainly for the Lubavitch Chassidim, they should. Make sure to finish the piece, but for the rest of us, we're going to continue next week in Mitzvah Shem with the Maimer from Rabbi Shemaya, Derech Eitz Chaim, and understanding the context of the appearance of the Baal Shem Tov.